This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got to 37 degrees right now, going for a high of 43 with partly sunny skies. We'll have a forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by GWC Law and Classic Draperies. Let's kick things off with a check of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we're looking at a fresh record for the NASDAQ composite. Right now, it's up 27 points at 6,726. The Dow is higher by 21 points and the S&P adding 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also higher by 0.25%. So we're back to gains on the prospects for tax cuts, and some better than expected results from some big companies are also helping the averages. Kellogg is one of the best performers on the S&P. Its shares up more than 5.5% after the company showed it was able to mitigate soft cereal sales. And Mondelez is also posting a surprisingly strong performance. Mondelez shares advancing almost 6% right now. A look at consumer confidence from the Conference Board finds we are as upbeat about the economy as we've been in 17 years. Also, we got a reading on home prices. No surprise there. They are up more than 6% compared to this time last year. That from the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index. And this hearing will be happening in about an hour and a half. Congress putting Facebook, Twitter, and Google under a public microscope. Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee will be asking lawyers from those social media outlets questions about Russia's use of their networks to meddle in the 2016 election. Senators want to know how the companies didn't notice there were issues, such as buying 3,000 Facebook ads, mostly with rubles. We'll be tracking those social media sites, their shares, as we go through the afternoon here. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
And on today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to be examining some of the very encouraging economic data that is out today. And we're also taking a look at what some fast food chains are doing to boost their shares and also their income. And that is serving alcohol.
Travel Tuesday, we'll look at some options for you if you want to stay warm over the Thanksgiving and other holidays. Also, Under Armour sinking. We'll tell you how far they may go. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We have a lot of new economic data across our desk today, and we're going to talk about it with Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thanks for joining us today, Gus. We've been waiting for wages to pick up a long time. What is the latest information on that?
We got the latest data from the Employment Cost Index, which covers the third quarter of 2017. That actually tracks individual workers over time, so it's a good measure of wage growth. We did see an acceleration in both wages and benefits in the third quarter, so it looks like perhaps the tight labor market is finally starting to push up wages.
And what do we attribute this to?
The unemployment rate is at 4.2%. A lot of businesses are having difficulty in hiring, or their current workers are leaving, and the way they respond to that is by raising pay. So I think with the unemployment rate continuing to decline, with businesses finding it more and more difficult to hire, that we're going to see even stronger wage growth into 2018.
So is that, I'm trying to understand here, good for employees, not necessarily so good for employers?
That's right. I mean, certainly if you're working right now, it's a tight labor market, and so you have some leverage. So that means more take-home pay, and that means more money to spend, so good news for consumers. Obviously, for businesses, labor's an important cost, and so if wages are rising, that is a drag on profitability. That being said, businesses are pretty profitable right now, and the prices they charge are also rising, so I think the profit margins will remain good.
Another index rise in consumer confidence rising in October. Two questions. First, what do you make of the rise? What do you think is leading to it? And as consumers are growing more confident, do you think they'll start spending more money?
A lot of factors behind the improvement in consumer confidence. Obviously, more jobs is good news. Rising wages, as we mentioned, is good news. The economies appear to have weathered the hit from the hurricanes, and the economy looks to be expanding, and then also record high stock prices. So all of those are very good news for consumers. That means that they're going to be opening their purse strings a little bit more. You know, we've had pretty solid growth in consumer spending throughout this expansion, and I think that's going to remain the case well into 2018.
In fact, the consumer confidence right now is at the highest it has been since December of 2000. That's pretty amazing.
And that's the last time that the labor market was really quite this strong. So I think it's an indication that consumers feel that the job market is headed in the right direction and the overall economy is headed in the right direction.
Also have home prices rising, a lot of really good news from a lot of the different indexes and data points. Gus, wondering if you feel like this shows us that the economic strength is really there. It's not some sort of a flash in the pan.
You know, I think this is perhaps a little bit stronger than what we've seen over the past few years, but I think it's, you know, similar to the type of expansion. I just think that what we're seeing right now is we're finally starting to see some of the benefits of the tight job market, and that is resulting in stronger wage growth. And so that's good news for consumers. It's good news for consumer confidence. It's good news for house prices. And so I think it's a reflection of the improvements that we've seen in the job market over the past 3 or 4 years.
Well, thank you for the update. Gus Fauché is chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. And ahead, booze with your fast food. A popular chain turns up the heat on the competition.
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's getting easier to have a cold one with your fast food. Taco Bell's rolling out more restaurants offering booze on the menu. Other fast food joints are doing the same thing. Let's talk about it with Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. So, Phil, we mentioned Taco Bell. Tell us some of the other fast food restaurants trying alcohol.
Well, just about everyone is, Cisco. Chipotle is doing it. McDonald's has been doing it for a while. And frankly, even Starbucks. So what we're seeing is all these people trying to add beer, wine, margaritas, everything to their menu to be able to get that higher profit that you get from, frankly, selling alcohol, where you might just get a margin of 30, 40% when it comes to burgers. Guess what? When it comes to alcohol, you could be making 75 to 90%.
Now, is it about just getting more from existing customers? Is it about bringing new customers in who maybe want alcohol? Is it both of those things?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think what's really driving it is that profit. What we've seen is a lot of these fast casual and fast food restaurants have declining sales. So this is a way to both get those new customers in, but also there's a lot of controversy about this. When you really take a look, excess drinking caused more than 88,000 deaths. You know, back to 2010, and it's probably higher now. That, according to the Centers for Disease Control. And, you know, as we're all talking about the opioid epidemic, that's more than twice the number of deaths from opioids. So we really have to put this in the right perspective. And these fast casual restaurants are doing this, but a lot of people are saying, whoa, hold off. We don't need more people to be drinking.
We had no idea that McDonald's was also serving alcohol. Is that true?
Yeah, McDonald's has actually been testing beer and wine, and Burger King did it a few years ago. They've both been testing it for a while, but it hasn't worked all that well in their test markets. The people who are going to certain restaurants, they don't want beer and wine there because it's a family restaurant.
So are some of these other ones, aren't they, though?
They are, and that's why, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they're up in arms against it, as are, you know, some other professors who are saying that with what's going on now with the rise in alcohol consumption, we've got a problem. They report that 30 million people binge drink at least once a week, and 30 million report alcohol abuse or dependency. You know, so we really have a big alcohol problem that nobody's talking about, and these restaurants are trying to capitalize on it, and I think they're going to come under a lot of concern.
Talk more about Starbucks, because they rolled this out, ended up being a few hundred restaurants. Now they've scaled way back.
They have. It was launched back in 2010. It went up to about 350 locations. Today, it's only going to a few in the airport cafes. It really didn't work for them. You know, you have to stay true to your DNA. And Starbucks is about coffee. It's not about beer. And you look at their locations, and frankly, you know, I can't see going to a couple friends and saying, oh, let's go to Starbucks and have a glass of wine. It's just not the right environment for it.
You mentioned just how much more they make in profit on alcohol versus the other stuff. Has that become more important as raw materials? Is their food cost has gone up, or has that pretty much stayed the same? What's that looking like?
No, Cisco, you're right. It's not only food cost, but also labor cost. Keep in mind that more restaurants, even though we haven't seen it in the headlines for a while, are still increasing wages. We're still trying to get to that $15 an hour wage. And as a result, they've got to either raise prices or offer other things that have more profit. And there's soda, there's French fries, and there's booze.
Good way to end our conversation. Phil, thanks for joining us today. Phil Lempert is founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles. Coming up, Bitcoin is about to take its place in a major financial market.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. All the latest market news from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we are headed higher today. No big gains for the Dow and S&P, but the NASDAQ is on track to finish at a new record. So here are the numbers. The Dow up 15 points. 23,364 is the level. NASDAQ higher by 28 at 6,727, improving on its highest ever close by about 26 points. And the S&P up 4 at 2576, still a few points off its highest close, which is 2581. Second in command at Mylan is the target of a price-fixing investigation. Connecticut's attorney general says generic drug makers have conspired for years, and that he and counterparts in 44 other states and D.C. are seeking to sue Mylan's executive director. In the wake of that report, Mylan's stock is down almost 8%. We've got a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed markets here today. Corn's been down 3.5 to down 0.5 at the moment. December down 2.25 at 346.5, one off their low and about 3 off the recent lows that we made. We just can't push it any lower. Beans have been down 1.75 to up at 4.75. November's up 2.25 right now at 9.75. And wheat's been down 8.5 to up 1.5. We're down 7 there at 4.17.75. Corn and wheat lower, beans higher. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Bitcoin is about to make its entry on the CME.
Travel Tuesday. We'll have some options if you don't want to spend the holidays with Grandma.
What's causing the trouble for the bottom line of garment giant Under Armour?
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 21, the NASDAQ up about 28, and the S&P 500 up by 3.
Beautiful sunshine. Throughout your day, it is a chilly one, though, with a high of just 43 degrees. Right now, it's 37 at O'Hare and Midway, 38 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by Woodlands Academy of the Sacred Heart.
Well, Bitcoin is about to take a giant step toward the mainstream. Bitcoin futures are coming soon to the CME Group. And the news has pushed the price to record highs. We're talking with Bill Ulivieri, who is owner and financial advisor at Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Bill, welcome to our program. Your reaction and also how does this stack up with Jamie Dimon's proclamation recently that it is a fraud and will blow up the Bitcoin?
Well, I don't think it's a fraud, and I don't think it's going to blow up. Otherwise, the Chicago Mercantile, Chicago CME Group, and the Chicago Board Options Exchange, in my opinion, are listing options and futures on this particular new asset class. And I think what's happening is the race is on now, right? So we're witnessing this whole new era of programmable money in the form of digital currencies as a new asset class. Up until Bitcoin, all we've known is stocks and bonds and commodities, and now this is something completely new, and this is, in my opinion, just the beginning of what we're going to see over the next 10 or 15 years.
For some of our listeners who may not be familiar with Bitcoin, can you tell us generally what it is?
Bitcoin is a form of transfer of value. It's digital money that happens person to person or peer to peer without the need of an intermediary. So in other words, I can send Bitcoin to somebody instantaneously anywhere on the planet for virtually no cost, and I don't need a bank or a credit union to do it. Bitcoin currently transacts roughly $1.5 to $2 billion a day of money transfer back and forth, and it doesn't need a bank, it doesn't need a credit union, it doesn't need a trusted intermediary. It's the computer system is the trusted network that verifies the Bitcoin transactions.
We've seen trouble with computers, you know, hackers and people messing with things. Is that a risk when it comes to something like Bitcoin or any other electronic currency?
In my opinion, no, because the beauty of Bitcoin is that it's distributed throughout hundreds of thousands of volunteers who participate in this computer network. See, the problem with computer hacking is that there's a central point of attack. There's a central place where you can attack the computers and form all sorts of havoc, like with the Equifax hack, right? So Bitcoin is so spread so thin across the entire planet that there's no central place of attack. That's what actually makes Bitcoin one of the most secure forms of money transfer that the world has ever known.
So are we seeing, you mentioned that you think that this may just get bigger, are we seeing the beginning of a global currency, a single global currency?
Well, you know, I'm not so sure about one single global currency. Certainly Bitcoin has the most brand recognition out there right now. But what we're probably going to see is currently there's 1,100 cryptocurrencies of some kind. Each one has its own little personality and attribute. And that's what makes this so beautiful, is that it's programmable money. So you can create a token or a cryptocurrency that has any kind of attribute you want. So while Bitcoin is the first gate out of the chute, the first player out, I think it will always maintain a certain form of primacy over other cryptocurrencies. But really, it's still too new to say if it will maintain its number one position.
Really great insight, Bill. Thanks. We will have you back to talk more about this. Bill Ulivieri is owner and financial advisor at Senecal Capital Management in Glenview.
Well, now let's talk with Art Hogan, chief market strategist at Wunderlich Securities in New York City. Art, we had a lot of really good numbers in the reports on the economy today. Let's take a look at the markets, which are having just a kind of a ho-hum day.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've got a continuing trend of better than expected economic data. And this is in a quarter where we thought we'd have a lot more effect of the hurricanes putting a dent in some of the economic activity, and that really hasn't been the case. So across the board, economic data continue to improve, and I think that's important. I think this market has done a pretty good job of grinding higher with very little volatility and virtually no pullbacks of note. But we're at a juncture here where most of the impactful news of the week, at least, is in front of us. So when you think about what's going to unfold over the next couple of days, we've got the president's going to let us know who he's going to pick as the Fed chair on Thursday. On Wednesday, we get a decision from the central bank, and we find out what the details of the tax plan coming out of the House Ways and Means is going to look like. So a lot of things in front of us. On Friday, we get a jobs number. So this is one of those days where it's okay not to have a lot of action, a lot of volatility around that. The earnings season has been better than expected. The economic data continue to improve, but we get a lot of things that can move markets around as the week wears on.
The Fed Governor Jerome Powell is said to be probably President Trump's pick as the next Fed chief. Your comment on that?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. I think as I look at that, it's continuity. So we've got a big unwind going on. We've got a large balance sheet that's unwinding, and we're trying to normalize interest rates. Probably better to have someone that's had an ear in the huddle for that plan versus bringing someone that might be a disruptor on that process. So I think that's probably the right choice. But also, you get to put your fingerprints on the Fed. So the president could say he made a big change. While we'll probably get more of the same, and Powell's probably a little bit more open to talking about deregulation. So I think if that's the ultimate choice, it's probably the right one as I look at the stack of folks that were on the list of probables.
So wanting to say that you made a change, do you think that's why the president makes this choice instead of re-upping Yellen?
I think that's it. You know, in large part, this is an administration that likes to say they're forging a new path. They're doing things that have never been done before. So I truly believe he likes to show change, and this would be a change. This is a new chair of the Fed. And remember, there's other seats to fill on that board. So this is the first of three seats they need to fill, and that could change the complexion of this board as we head into 2018. Now, this is a board that's going to have voting members that were a bit more hawkish heading into 18 to begin with. And we'll see how that shapes up. But I think the Powell decision is probably one that the street can applaud here and move on to its next course of business, which is probably getting a look at taxes and what the tax package looks like coming out tomorrow.
Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at Wunderlich Securities in New York. Thanks for joining us, Art. Ahead, Travel Tuesday. Options for holiday travelers, especially if they want something warm.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. If you don't want to go to Grandma's for the holidays, there are some options. Great deals at resorts all around the world. Let's find out about some of them. Joe Brancatelli is joining us, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York City. So, Joe, we're talking about warm spots, right? If you want to get out of some of the cold weather in Chicago this holiday season.
Well, I think we all of us who live in the northern climates, I'm based in New York, want a warmer place for Christmas than we're used to during the year. The problem, of course, Cisco, is that the resorts in the most popular places like Florida, Arizona, Southern California, even on out to Hawaii, are rather pricey for Christmas, and you do have the issue of finding a good airfare. So if you want to go, you start thinking now, you start hitting the sites looking for a good fare and the good resorts, because it's no longer a thing where you have to go to some family member's house for Christmas. So you're up against people more interested in traveling for Christmas and New Year than ever before.
So if we want to stay in the U.S., obviously there are international destinations. We can talk about those in a moment. But if we want to stay here in the U.S., are there some warm options?
Well, I think I look at this very practically. I'm a big fan of going where the airlines want to send you. And when you look at the map from O'Hare or Midway, your best choice is Florida. There's the most flights, the most frequency, okay, and the most options to the most cities where it's warm. And you can even stretch that out to what they call the redneck Riviera, places like Destin and Fort Walton. Don't just look at the peninsula. So that's where I would focus first, is looking at Florida. And then if you don't find anything you like, a good combination of airfare and some of the resorts, in Naples or Sarasota, like that, you then switch over to Arizona. There aren't quite as many good seats and good routes to Arizona, but you will find them. And as I say, if you look at this practically, you will be able to find something.
And what about international destinations?
Well, now international becomes different, Chris, because you're in a cooler spot. Now, you say the high today in Chicago will only be 43 degrees. If you're willing to accept 40, 45, 50, 55 in Europe, there are fabulous bargains going to Europe for the holidays, both because of the influx of the new low-fare airlines and also the fact that the established airlines will give you great deals in business class as little as $2,200-$2,300 round trip for Christmas. But you do have to then accept that you will probably be in an urban destination and it will be cooler. You won't be sitting on a beach somewhere. But if you like an urban holiday and a European Christmas, you will find some fantastic bargains.
Thanks for the info, Joe. Joe Brancatelli is editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com in New York. And join us this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, why shares of Under Armour are taking a beating.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
More trouble ahead for the garment giant Under Armour. Shares have dropped like a rock this year, down 18% just today. We're talking with Jan Rogers Niffen, who is the CEO of J. Rogers, Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. Thanks for coming back on the Noon Business Hour. Jan, is this a problem with Under Armour or the other stores like this also having problems?
Well, it's a problem across that industry at the moment, but it's really a problem for Under Armour, much more so than anybody else. They've got Adidas taking share and Nike in recovery, and Under Armour doesn't seem to have any of that. Today's release, quite quite honestly, couldn't have been worse. Everything they released was wrong. Margins were down. The revenue in North America was just crashing. International segments decelerating. Inventories ballooning. I mean, I don't know what they could have said that would have been worse. No wonder they're down 18%. It was just a very, very bad release, and it doesn't show any evidence that they're getting their mojo back so that they can make this thing work again.
Have they been up and down like this before?
Well, they've been consistently down for the past year or more because things have become difficult for them in the space. And I think part of that is Adidas taking share, but it's generally that their performance has been poor. And I think anybody that looks at it would say, okay, well, the space is a little tougher because we're not seeing the growth we saw in athletic. Athleisure's not quite as popular. It's become sort of a lifestyle thing as well. And Under Armour's never been regarded really as a lifestyle brand. It's always been more regarded as a technical brand. And then, you know, we've seen problems, you know, with things not being great at Dick's necessarily in selling the product. And we've seen changes in that whole industry where, you know, TSA went out of business. And so there's a lot going on there. But uniquely, Under Armour has performed the worst of the group. And they got to a big number of $5 billion in revenue really, really fast. And then they've sort of rolled over. And, you know, sometimes that happens when you have the guy running the place that built the place. And maybe he's just not as on the ball with running the business as he was and building a great business. Or maybe it really is just competitive pressure. But something has really slowed them down, and they don't show any signs yet of getting it fixed.
Briefly, Jan, long term, do you like Under Armour or no?
I actually think long term, this industry has outgrown itself anyway because we had this big fad of everybody wearing it, whether they were working out or not. And I think Nike is the real winner in the space. They've got the best technical. They're the biggest. They're the toughest guy on the block. I even think the Adidas thing is temporary because I think they really rode the throwback. You know, everybody wanted to wear a pair of Stan Smiths, so they rode that throwback trend. I think even they will slow. So, no, I'm not even a long-term trend, especially at these prices. These guys are still more expensive on a multiple basis than anybody else in the space or anybody else in retailing, pretty much, despite having come down so much because their performance has come down so much. So they still look expensive, even at the current price.
Thanks for being here, Jan Rogers Niffin, CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide. We'll get an update of the markets from Bloomberg next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the market, sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialist. Here is Elisa Parenti.
Chris, the Dow is higher by 22 points, NASDAQ up 29 points, and the composite is looking at a fresh record today, gaining 0.4%. S&P adding 4 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index now higher by 0.3%. We continue to see gains for crude oil futures, right now gaining almost 0.75% and now above $54.50 a barrel. Two of the main reasons the NASDAQ and S&P are gaining today, Kellogg and Mondelez. Both of those companies have pulled off what's become a rare feat for food giants, sales growth. The summer quarter sales increase was their first in years, and Kellogg says its U.S. sales got a boost as grocers stocked up before the hurricanes. Sales at Under Armour have fallen for the first time in at least 12 years. You've just been talking about that. Taking a look at the stock, it is down 18%, just above $12. Nike stock also lower today, but not nearly as bad. It's down just about 0.5%. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.